What can you grow in July? That's this week on Thrive in the Future.
Welcome to Thrive in the Future podcast, positive solutions to help you thrive, designing your intentional life, homesteading, gardening, and rediscovering culture and tradition.
Hey, times are tough. You want to be more self-sufficient and grow more food with even enough to share with family and friends or to sell some of that surplus. You've heard about this food forest thing, but it's also overwhelming to get started. I can help. My thriving food forest design can help you realize your dreams of an edible foodscape or a perennial paradise that'll come back every year so you could grow more food and be more self-sufficient. Schedule your free discovery call with me at thrivingfoodforest.com. So I'm back. Where have I been all this time? I planted a lot of things this spring, and for a while there, I was watering day and night and working in the garden and turning over soil. And one of the things that really was a problem was my garden got out of hand and it got really weedy because I don't go back there all that much. It's in zone 2, borderline zone 3. It got overrun with weeds. So I started building garden beds and raised beds closer to the house. That way I have more eyeballs on them and I can intervene without it being taken over. My garden in zone 2 is being taken over by bindweed and a real big hassle. It's going to require some significant work during the down season. In addition to that, I've been spending a lot of time on having local conversations or just personal off the record conversations. And these are the things you should be having. There's no need to turn on the microphone and record everything all the time. But I've had great conversations with friends. I've had great conversations with folks that have been on the podcast before. And I've also been developing local community. Everything needs to go hyper-local, and I'll talk more about that on a future episode. With AI, screen scraping everything and summarizing every website, most people are not clicking on websites. So it doesn't really matter what your SEO is doing. You're not up at the top of the list because they're only looking at the summary of their question. You ask ChatGPT a question or even Google a question, and it will show you the summary of the answer instead of showing you all of the links. Now, ChatGPT shows you the references, and Google, of course, will still show you all the links. But people aren't going to those anymore. They're reading the summary up at the top and saying, this is good enough, and then they go on. So Google and all these AIs are using your content for free, and you're not getting the click-throughs. It's almost like being on Instagram and not getting the click-throughs. Yes, go click on the link in the bio. Well, the only people that do that and the only people that get success with that are the OnlyFans people. So I'll talk a little bit more about that on a future episode, but that's one of the reasons why I've been busy all summer long. So let's get to the episode and talk about growing what you can plant in July. It's July in Kansas, and next week we're going to break 100 for the first time this summer. We've had a lot of rain. None of the stores have any plants left. Maybe Home Depot may have a couple left, but around here all the seed displays disappear around 4th of July, and everything goes on clearance. This year, I got a ton of stuff. I followed Grant Payne's model, and I went around and just cleaned out at clearance time. At Lowe's, I got fig trees. At Ace Hardware, I got blackberries and lots of echinacea. I've got all kinds of different colors of echinacea that I planted pretty much everywhere. The normies aren't growing anything in July. And every time I've tried to grow or start something in July from seed, it usually fails just because of the heat. But as I'm looking at Clyde's garden planner, I put it at my last frost date, which is October 20th, and I've got a lot of options here for things that can still be planted and can still be harvested by the time the frost comes, which is almost 3 months away. I can plant cabbage. Of course, cabbage can go past or the first frost. I can plant cucumbers, okra, pumpkins if they're not 120-day pumpkins. You can plant winter squash, carrots, of course, and a lot of greens. Now, the carrots and the greens don't seem to do very well Usually they won't germinate because of the sun and the heat and the soil, but I have a couple of garden beds that are in the partial shade, and I've been able to plant black-seeded Simpson lettuce, which is my favorite kind of lettuce. It's cut and come again lettuce, and I've been able to plant it there and get it to germinate. Another thing you could do is in the garden, if you use shade cloth, you can shelter it enough to maybe get it to germinate. Another benefit is if you plant squash this late, then you can sometimes avoid the squash bugs because the squash bugs have come and gone. And by the time the squash is getting ready to bear, the squash bug wave has passed. That's happened to me a couple times and I've been able to get squash. Now it gets kind of squirrely because it gets a little bit close to that first frost date. But last year we had this kind of a weather pattern where we had rain into July, not quite this late into July, but into July, and then it turned hot and dry and drought, and it stayed hot all the way through the fall. We didn't have a normal fall at all, and the first major frost was all the way to Thanksgiving instead of October 20th. It made for some miserable deer hunting. It made it difficult to dig up some trees and replant them somewhere else because they weren't fully dormant yet. And one of the side benefits also, though, was if I planted trees in September, that gave me a little bit more time for root growth. Planted two apple trees in September, and they had great root growth, came back super strong this spring. I also have sweet potatoes that are going really strong, and previous years I've had sweet potatoes that were as big as footballs. So give it a try. Don't give up on your garden, and you'll have a fall garden and be ready and have a great harvest this fall. Take care, everybody. If you like this episode, leave us a tip on Venmo or Cash App at Thrive in the Future. You can also go to our stuff page and buy some stuff, or go to grownuttrees.com and buy some trees. And I now have a Substack. It's thriveinthefuturesubstack.com. And that's where I post some of the articles that were on Thriving News, some of the things written by Perpend, as well as I post these episodes over there as well. So go over there, subscribe. That's at thriveinthefuture.substack.com. Thank you for listening to Thrive in the Future podcast. If you like what you hear, please click that like or subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at Thrive in the Fute, and also go to thriveinthefuture.com.